The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Good friend Pat Still from the Marconi Award nominated Pat Tomacody show.
We know you like sports.
Yeah, we know you like sports. You want some country.
That was a disturbing picture.
He just showed us a picture that he took of the community fridge downstairs in the snack area. It looks like somebody put a either raw or barely cooked Johnsonville brat. I'm going to try to get you to visualize this. A Johnsonville brat on top of a street taco-sized tortilla. So a smaller tortilla. It's only halfway on. And the tortilla and the brat are directly on the shelf of the refrigerator. There's nothing under it. There's no paper towel. It's not in a Tupperware.
It's just open?
And it's opened up. It's not even wrapped.
Yeah, it's not wrapped. Which, by the way, I don't think I would go for a bratwurst burrito, although I'm not saying I wouldn't try it. Right?
I think I would.
Yeah. I mean,
not the first choice.
It's not a hot dog bun, but right. I guess in a pinch. But somebody just put that in there. Oh, he says it's been in there since Monday. Actually, I think I just solved the equation. I'm wondering if that might have been the lunch of an employee that I'm thinking of. Are you with me?
I think so.
I think you are.
Hey.
Hey. Yes, that is well done, Jason. You were 100% correct. And by the way, just so nobody, I'm not talking about Rami, by the way, but that he yesterday announced he's going bye-bye. He first I thought it was because he missed Nick so much, but I guess it's the same. He was very kind and nice to the station, just kind of misses home, and he and his girl are homesick and want to head back to, Milwaukee, right, or something like that? So,
which is in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's in Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I didn't listen to the whole thing. Did he say when his last day was?
Yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday?
Yeah.
That's weird. Why didn't he just make Friday his last day? No, I mean, I'm just asking. I don't know. I don't know. All this goes on above me, but nothing against that. Just Wednesday. So, thanks, Rami, and love you. Love you a long time. Always had fantastic interactions every time I talk to Rami. So I'm sure he'll do well wherever he goes. And, hey, want to do radio? Pretty soon, it's going to be they should just move Whitey and Watkins to that shift. And then
8 hours?
Yeah, and you and I go to 2. 2 p.m.? Is that what
it is? Oh, I think a 2-hour show. No. And they go,
well, that
10.
Would be fine, too. But, yeah, just we'll go 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Right? Is that how it will work?
That's a lot longer shift. Why wouldn't we have 2 6-hour shows?
We go 6 go 4? To noon? Yeah. Okay, there you go. We go 6 to noon. They go noon to 6. Yeah. While we're talking about this next segment with Matt Barrows, I want you to quietly think about how much more, from a percentage standpoint, money you would need.
I just want you to think about filling 2 more hours of content in the summertime.
I will tell you exactly how it would go. And this is non-negotiable. It would be, we do our show 6 to 10 and then special replay from 10 to noon.
Yeah.
That's 100% how it would go. Anyways.
Some other shows do that in this market.
Yes, they do. I look forward to welcoming in or saying hello again to whoever rolls in there and props and hello and goodbye and love you a long time to Rami. He will be missed. Good guy. Matt Barrows wrote yesterday about Deebo Samuel. Why is it every single time this has been happening to me all week, when I see on our little prep sheet, I see Samuel, I have to stop myself from saying Juan Samuel.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's Deebo Samuel.
When's the last time you thought about Juan Samuel?
I don't even remember, okay. But boy, was he a fine ball player.
Sure.
Deebo Samuel, as we've heard from his shirtless pick brigade to Kyle Shanahan, which, by the way, unconfirmed rumors that they're thinking about using those pictures, because they're apparently sent him 12. That's the rumor. And they're thinking of turning it into a Deebo Samuel Kyle Shanahan calendar.
Nice.
And donating the funds to charity. Don't know if that's true or not, or a rumor I just made up on the fly, but I would perhaps purchase it, put it up here in the studio. Now, Brandon Ayuk, we talked about this yesterday. It's kind of like is the Keegan Murray a little bit of the Niners. Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking for this leap, man. And so far, all signs point to Deebo looks amazing, is in the best shape of his life. He's hungry, hungry, hungry. And Brandon Ayuk is ready to make that superstar leap. Jason, are you buying into this, or are we playing training camp bingo?
Maybe training camp bingo a little bit here, partly because it's weird. Would you feel better about Ayuk jumping into a superstar role if he was clearly the number one receiver and there were less weapons, or in the situation he is now where he's probably not the number one but could be on a weekly basis, but he's not the defined number one, and they have a ton of weapons? I mean, I just think the old saying, there's only one football. I think there's a lot of people. I think there'll be weeks where like, wow, Ayuk went crazy today. Yeah. And then the next week he has three catches for 36 yards. And not meaning he's bad. No. It's just there's too many options.
And I think that's where we really have to, if you're going to follow the 49ers, we really have to change the way we assess. And we talked about this a bit yesterday. What is success for the individual players? Because there are... This is seriously, this could go down. That's why I'm so insanely bullish on this team. I don't know that I've ever been more bullish on any team I've ever rooted for in my life, which probably means they're going to go 4-13. But this could go down as one of the most loaded teams in NFL history. They have one of the greatest running backs in the NFL right now, who is not just great on the ground, but is perhaps the best two-way running back in the league. Deebo Samuel would be the top target on damn near any team in the NFL. But here's Brandon Ayuk. Then you have George Kittle, who is a top three, probably at worst, tight end. There's just so much to go around. It's going to be the biggest problem for Brock Purdy, assuming it's Brock Purdy, is just your quick twitch eye reflexes mm-hmm. to look and see not only who's open, but also managing these guys in the huddle. Because a lot of times their biggest problem might be you have multiple guys screaming, I'm open, and you can only throw the ball to one guy.
Right.
And then you got to feed McCaffrey.
Yeah, and I still think, at least the past has shown us under Kyle Shanahan, I think his true DNA, I think he would love to be a running football team. Mm-hmm. Like if all things were equal and he
could
dominate a game on the ground, I think he would choose to do that.
And that a lot last year where they would just go down and destroy that defensive line and demoralize
them. It just takes your spirit and your will away. And if you can just churn out 3, 4, 6, 8 yard runs, just move the ball down the field effectively, mix in the pass. I mean, it's not like he ignores the passing game, but I think just his kind of, everybody has a tendency. I think he would prefer to run the ball if you can dominate the game that way. So I think all that being said, I mean, let's give Purdy even a lofty number and say he averages 280, 300 yards a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be spread around amongst McCaffrey and Deebo and Kittle and certainly Ayuk and others.
Speaking of Brock Purdy, Tim Kawakami had an article yesterday I thought was a little bit interesting in talking to Kyle Shanahan about Purdy and his chances of being the number one. And if you haven't read it, I invite you to read it, because it really was a wide-ranging article. I'll give you a couple of paragraphs here, because I think, you know, we've spent so much time talking about that quarterback room. And unless Shanahan's doing some misdirectioning here, which isn't off the table, I think this answers this pretty well. Kawakami asked him about the chances of Lance and or Darnold moving ahead of Brock Purdy. Shanahan said, Trey and Sam, they have the ability to do that stuff. It's harder for them to do it in practice and to jump a guy we've seen do it in seven games. That's the harder situation, but that's the situation I'm happy about. Now, maybe Brock has a setback. Maybe he's rusty because of his injury. I don't know. I don't think he'll be. I think he'll get back to that point. And then these other guys can play too. Maybe he does get an injury and Sam or Trey get an opportunity just like Brock did last year. Here's the key paragraph. All of this could happen to each one of them. I know the way that we all would have drawn it up because of how we spent our draft picks. And that's the way it was going to go. But injuries happen. And when injuries happen, you don't really lose your job because of injury, but you give an opportunity to someone else. And this guy who got his opportunity came in and did stuff on film for me, for John, for all our players that was as good as we've seen here, and he's going to be real hard to beat out. If that's not Kyle Shanahan saying Brock Purdy's QB1 and he's starting on game one, barring some sort of setback, I don't know what is. And the fact that he went into the detail like that, that tells me this isn't a Kyle Shanahan misdirection. Mm-hmm. He's basically saying, yeah, Trey Lance, sorry, we spent a lot of draft capital on you, but who cares? We didn't spend that draft capital so we could get you. We don't care who the quarterback is as long as we get one.
Right.
And we think we got one in Brock Purdy. You heard me earlier this week. Welcome in my old friend and an old friend of the station, Roy, from Roy's Umbrella. And in the coming weeks, you're going to hear him talking about all the things going on in the real estate market. You guys know it's a tumultuous market indeed. But Roy's an old friend of the station. Roy's an old friend of the station. He's on the station for many, many years, took a break, and now he is back. And I could not be happier. Most of you listening know who I'm talking about or familiar with him. So many of you have probably done loans with the guy before. If not, well, you're welcome. Because Roy is one of the most trusted names in the area. Many, many years of service, and is here to help you out. Roy's going to call in each week. He's going to talk to us about the market and what opportunities there are for you. And we're going to have all kinds of different things that we're going to share with you to help you get the edge on that market. If you are, by the way, in the market. In the meantime, roysumbrella.com is always up for you to do some research, make some inquiries, or you can call them directly. It's his cell number, by the way, 916-997-4434. Think about that. It's a cell number. Carries around with him everywhere. 916-997-4434. Heck, call him down. 713. Wake him up. Tell him Carmichael Dave sent you. Roysumbrella.com. All right. Well, it'll be very interesting to monitor everything going on with that quarterback situation with Brandon Ayuk, with Deebo Samuel. But my God, I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. I also saw the first little mini clip from Hard Knocks yesterday. Mm. And this one looks like it might be a little bit fun, too.
Okay, good.
I don't know if it's going to beat Rex Ryan from the last time it was the Jets, but I think this thing might be a little bit fun. Three for Madness right now.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
All righty, then. Coming up, Sacramento Kings are a part of, and you would think they would be, ESPN's preseason NBA rankings, or should I say offseason power rankings. We'll tell you where they rank, and then we'll yell about whether they're too high or too low. Mm. In the meantime, three for Madness, question one.
Colts owner Jim Irsay said the Zoom call running backs participated in a few days ago was inappropriate. Why is Jim Irsay sticking his nose in this?
Well, first off, Jim Irsay needs to chill. You know, just relax, Jim. Secondly, it's not inappropriate. Okay? And now you could, if he's hinting at collusion or something, nobody's doing anything. They're just bitching at each other and trying to come up with ideas. Here's the bottom line. what Jim Irsay said, though I think was inappropriate, he shouldn't have tweeted it. The NFL owner should speak as one voice. But he said, look, you know, the CBA has been negotiated, long, painstaking process, and we can't just renegotiate it for one position. Here's something I did not know. Did you know that when put on a franchise tag, running backs get less money than any other position player?
I didn't.
Offensive line, defensive line, cornerback, secondary, anything in the secondary, wide receiver, tight end. They're all up in like 18, with the exception of special teams. They're all up in like the $18, $19, $20 million range and above. And I think it's what, $10 million for running backs. I didn't know that. And what the running backs should be saying to each other sounds like a conversation I had with my daughter yesterday. She did something wrong. I had to punish her. And then I said, you should not be upset with me. You know the rules. You need to look in the mirror and take responsibility for what you did. Josh Jacobs and Odell Beckham and all these running backs, they should be on the phone with their union reps. They should be on the phone with the president of the players' union and saying, you absolutely screwed us and we're locked into this thing. It's not the owner's fault. Now, you could make an ethical argument that the owners should take care of their players and pay them more, but this is business. Yeah. This is the NFL, which stands for not for long if you're a running back. It's not... I don't blame the owners, weirdly enough. This once again goes to the weakest players' union in sports for the biggest sport in the entire United States. That's where the problem lies.
Yeah, but I don't understand, like, for the question, the why Jim Irsay's even – why? Why are you in this? Why are you even concerned? Well, I guess you could be concerned, but it's not your fight today. Your running backs are there. Just stay out of it. Yes. Irsay gets into stuff every once in a while, too, for some reason.
By the way, the chat line's letting me know. Did I say Odell Beckham? I'm thinking Saquon Barkley, and I said Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham, noted running back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because he was a Giant? I don't know. Maybe I saw the Giant helmet in my head? Anyway.
Better for their team, Odell Beckham as a running back for the Giants or Van Morrison receiving for the Rams.
We, at the end of the week, we should just make the all Carmichael Dave misstated player name team. Number two.
Question two.
Aaron Rodgers has reworked his contract with the Jets, taking a $35 million pay cut over the next couple of seasons to give the Jets financial flexibility. Will this come back to bite Rodgers in the butt, given the Jets' poor history of player personnel decisions?
It is a beautiful move by Aaron Rodgers. It really is. It really is, whether he meant to do it or not. It is an incredibly smart move. So he gives back $35 million. That's a lot of money.
A lot of millions.
And even for what he makes, that's a lot. That's not $3.5 million. That's $35 million. That's more than probably, 90% of every NFL player in the history of the sport has made in their career. I think that number is probably pretty close. $35 million. What this does is, number one, makes him look like a good guy. Makes him look like a guy who cares about this brand new team of his.
Except for in Green Bay. It's like, you couldn't have done that for us?
I mean,
go get you a receiver.
Maybe this is his shot where it's like, well, that's what you get for drafting Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You know? So now he goes to New York, this brand new team, and says, this is how I demonstrate my commitment to you guys. I just gave back more money than almost all of you will make in your careers. That's number one. Good guy. Good PR. Number two, well, maybe they go out and use that money and actually get people. Which would be a huge move. Or number three, they don't. And then in a year when Aaron Rodgers wants out, he can go, I gave them $35 million, and they went out and came back with some magic beans.
Yeah.
Not happening. I'm out of here, pal.
Yeah. What did we see earlier? Dalvin Cook is visiting the Jets.
Visiting.
Well, there's some money there to
there
be
is.
Had if Mr. Rodgers was so nice to give some of that back.
It was very nice.
Very nice of him. What a generous.
Are you guys looking at this? Is this a J.J. Watt thing? You guys, is this a thing where you're like, he gave it back, but he's.
No, I think it was a smart.
No.
It's one more to me. It's one more extra little salute to the Packers.
Here's how it would have been a J.J. Watt thing if a camera crew was following Aaron Rodgers into Woody Johnson's office, and he's sitting down, like a tear in his eye, like, I just want to win, Woody. And money is just an object.
Yeah,
I've made plenty of it over my career. I need another ring. This franchise needs another ring.
Oh, my God.
And wouldn't there be a giant briefcase and he'd
yes.
take this and then they'd open it up and there's
guys,
all the money?
Why have we not thought of this?
Hard Knocks.
episode 3 of Hard Knocks this year, Aaron Rodgers just rolls in with like 7 briefcases, puts them on Woody Johnson's desk.
Oh, it'd be episode 1.
He's got that new number 8 piece that Sauce Gardner's jeweler had made for him.
Just hand, like, piles it up like at the World Series of Poker final table and says, I'm giving this, go out and get us some players. And then just walks out and drops a hit of acid. Like, how great is that? How great is that?
Going to my retreat.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, why don't you go sit in the dark room and get us some players?
I'm going to manifest us Deebo Samuel next season with this savings.
Number 3.
Question 3.
According to the great Mark Spears, Ben Simmons is, quote, as healthy as he's been since Philly. Is this the comeback year for Ben Simmons?
Is this mentally healthy?
I think he's talking physical. Physically. Let's see what happens. I wonder how many people that listen to this show are dead set against Ben, like, are literally rooting against Ben Simmons because they rightfully believe that I'm going to be incredibly obnoxious if he comes back and, like, has a really good year.
Count me
as
one.
I don't blame you guys. I don't. I truly don't. Because I'm not even going to try to hide it. Like, I will be painfully obnoxious about this. But I do hope. I hope so. Look, there's never been a question about Ben Simmons' talent. There's been a question about his jump shot. There's been a question about his outside shot. There's been questions about his...
Well, that's his talent.
I agree with Jason on that.
Okay, there's never been a question that Ben Simmons' talent is enough to be a perennial all-star player and an impact player in the NBA. There are questions about aspects of his talent. But... if Ben Simmons were to come back this year, first off, I wonder if he were to start out the season, put together a good 2-3 months, if Brooklyn goes, ooh, we have something here. If Brooklyn goes, oh, my God, okay, we can trade him now.
Yeah.
But we're coming up now on what, I think 1-2 years left on his contract, so it's not really – and it's mid-30s. I'd love to get Mark on, actually, and talk a little bit more about this, but I think that could end up being a really fun storyline this season.
Yeah, I mean, to me, honestly, the question is for Ben. It's all over the place for him. The mental aspect, where is he there? And he's been through a lot, and I don't question that, and it's serious and all that. You want it all to be right for him. But to me, it's also gone to the physical. Like, when was the last time he was the dude and the guy that you go, yeah, that's the number one pick that's been an all-star, that, you know, 6'10 point guard that can guard, get downhill. These are all aspects that make him lethal. We haven't seen that in forever.
No. Can I say, I think... pre-Atlanta series, that was still on everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. I feel like that Atlanta series just ruined everyone's perception ended. And then everything that's happened since then.
It did. Basically, Ben Simmons is a serial killer who has never made a basket, and he kicks mascots and takes drugs and also did a Ponzi scheme. Like, that's basically how everyone's reacted to Ben Simmons.
While watching playoff games in a nice, cozy blanket.
Because Ben Simmons did not take a shot near the basket.
It's just crazy because I feel like James Harden's performance in the series against Boston, games 5-7, you could argue was worse than Simmons' performance in Atlanta.
It was worse than Simmons' performance. I'll remind you that the last year that he was relatively healthy, in which he only played 58 games, that was 2021 for Philly, 14.3 points, 7 assists, 7.2 boards on 55.7% shooting. People forget he is a career 56% shooter, which, granted, 90% of the shots are within 3 feet.
I would say layupper.
How many games the last 2 years?
42, 0, 58, 57. Played 81 and 79 his first 2 years. Then a little bit downhill from there. But also, Ben Simmons, just in case you were wondering, and you probably weren't, just turned 27 years old a week ago. So plenty of time for him. We'll take a break. The post-offseason power rankings are out from ESPN. Where are the Kings ranked? Is it too high, too low? We will yell about it next.
Jimmy G and the Raiders take on the 49ers Sunday, August 13th from Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
And Sacktown Sports has all your coverage.
Kyle's offense versus Josh's offense, just different mindset behind it. So I think revamping the mind like that is the first step, and then just relearning the language. Basically, like going Spanish to French, something like that.
The voice of the Niners, Greg Papa, has the kickoff at 1 p.m. on Sacktown Sports.
Your home for the 49ers.
good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
Well, I guess I'll be the professional and hop on with you.
Golly, jeez. Welcome back, Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, in for Jason Ross.
And I played one of his favorite songs, too.
I know.
Is it me, or is he just not appreciative of the efforts we make for him?
He's kind of done.
Look at this yellow legal pad.
It was just back in 2015. Roger Goodell said that gambling was a bad idea and could hurt the NFL. Well, this just in, that's changed. And now, Aristocrat Gaming.
That sounds suspect.
Has unveiled their new slot machines, which will appear on casino floors in time for football season to kick off in September. They are NFL-themed slot machines.
Yes.
Complete with team logos. And oh, so much more. Super Bowl jackpot.
Why wouldn't you just call him Wes Welker Machines?
Because he's a slot receiver. That's where he was going on that.
Thanks.
He's a slot receiver. They will have customizable skins. Players can choose their favorite team, which will then load relevant imagery, videos of key game moments, and even stadium anthems.
Would the Browns slots ever win?
Right, like some poor old lady is sitting there just losing her house on the Texan slots.
How's that Ram slot looking this year?
They believe the NFL branded slot machines will encourage younger men to give slots a spin. Whereas previously slot machines have traditionally been the domain of older women. On Monday, the league confirmed that Ioma Uzurike of the Denver Broncos has been suspended indefinitely
for betting
on the NFL during the 2020
season. Did that press release mention the penny USFL slots next to him?
Yeah. Yeah, like the XFL slot that punches you in the face every time you lose. But that's good, though. It's good to see that the NFL and Vegas have teamed up to try to get more people to participate in this addiction.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Calvin Ridley's like, huh, really? Really?
It's just going to end so well. It's just going to end so well, all of this. All right, the Sacramento Kings are a part of the post-offseason power rankings. Now, this is not a ranking of the off-seasons. This is simply now that the off-season activity is over. Maybe with a couple exceptions here. Where do the chips fall according to Espen? Well, the number one team, the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, the champs.
The champs.
Okay.
All right. Number two. And by the way, the Nuggets re-signed Reggie Jackson, who, by the way, was our DH in the Giants. But they did lose Bruce Brown. And Jeff Green in free agency, so we will see. The Milwaukee Bucks pretty much kept everybody together. Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, etc. Number three, the Boston Celtics. And that's even after the Marcus Smart swap for Kristaps Porzingis to go with Jason Tatum and a very rich Jaylen Brown. Number four, bringing Bradley Beal in, propelled the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
To the number four spot, the Miami Heat are at number five, and that's before any Damian Lillard additions.
Yeah, why would they be five?
I don't know.
Okay.
They are number
I guess
five.
They were in the finals.
They were in the finals.
Sure.
Number six, the Sixers.
Hmm.
That's what James Harden's still a Sixer, and before anything happens there. Which
and now Embiid is married.
Mm-hmm. Yes, congratulations, yeah, Joel Embiid. Took his Joel M. bride. And they're now on a honeymoon. Thank you. Number seven, the Los Angeles Lakers, who retained Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell.
Okay.
And added Gabe Vincent, former Stockton King. Tyrion Prince, Jackson Hayes, and Cam Radish.
Mm.
I pronounced it on purpose that way. Number eight, Well, let's see. Hold on. So far, we have the Suns.
Yeah.
We have the
Nuggets.
I was saying we have the Suns. We have the Lakers. Now let's go with the Warriors.
Okay.
At number eight, they get Chris Paul for Jordan Poole. They re-signed Draymond Green and Yeehaw. So that's the whole Pacific Division, right? Is that the whole Pacific Division?
No.
Okay.
Clippers.
That's right, the Clippers. Number nine, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Number 10, the Memphis Grizzlies, which I actually think might, I mean, it's a Ja Morant thing, but I've told you before, I love that Marcus Smart deal for them. Number 11, the Clippers. Mm. Waiting to see what goes on with James Harden, bringing back Russell Westbrook and Mason Plumlee as well. They acquired KJ Martin, and well, they do have a decision to make, or a couple, because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are both eligible for extensions this summer.
Hmm.
And then number 12, your Sacramento Kings.
There they are.
Title odds. If you put $100 down on the Sacramento Kings to win the NBA title this year, you would receive $5,000 in return. Their free agency built cap space to re-sign Harrison Barnes, extend Domantas Sabonis. They added Chris Duarte. The question here that ESPN asks, is it enough for the Beam team to take the next big step forward? But there's also no harm in running it back with the same team. So my question to you, Jason Ross, any of these teams that you see above the Kings that you would say, maybe they should have passed them up?
I mean, I think generally when these are done this way, if I'm looking at just the objectives of the rankings, it's which team changed. Like, this was a common phrase at the trade deadline. Everybody in the West got better, is what I heard.
Yes.
Literally, that's impossible, right? Not everybody can get better, just standings-wise. But because people change, they think that's for the better. It wasn't the case. Kyrie Irving was a significant trade for Dallas.
Yeah.
They went from potentially catching the Kings on that back-to-back home games the Kings played them in to falling out of the playoff, all the way out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they plummeted, but it made sense to bring him back. I think they may be a better team this year. Sometimes it takes some teams some time. The Kings did it all developed in one season and are bringing it back for the most part and added some few things around the edges. So I think the Kings, their moves are less appealing. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be, is it better for the better? I think there were some teams that maybe underachieved a bit last year. Kings got a few breaks in staying healthy and playing well and taking advantage of some other things. So I don't think you're going to surprise anybody. I feel like the list is fair. I don't really know that I have. I mean, look, I think the Lakers are always overvalued, but I do think they had a good offseason. It makes sense to put Booker, Durant, Bradley beat, like, that team sounds really good. The Warriors did beat the Kings. Memphis was already good. They had a better record. The Nuggets are the champs. I don't really have a huge beef with a lot of that. And I'm glad they're still, I mean, thought highly enough of. I'm not bashing them. Last year was a fluke. Kings are 28th. That's not what they're doing.
I want to say something, by the way, something you said. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I'm not saying it because you said it. I don't have a problem with why you said it. But you mentioned how the Kings had good luck with injuries that were relatively healthy last year and all that. Is that a partially incorrect narrative? And what I mean by that is their all-NBA center broke his hand like four games into the season. Now, he played the whole year.
That's it. That's the difference.
But he wasn't healthy. Well,
but if he wasn't, I mean, still produced an all-NBA season.
Right.
It wasn't like he was a shell of himself.
Not at all. And then
his credit.
And then De'Aaron Fox breaks his hand.
Well, at the wrong time. But I'm talking a regular season.
Yeah. It's like if Domantas Sabonis had missed the 3 months he was supposed to miss or whatever it was to get the surgery and do the thing, then they wouldn't.
They wouldn't have been the three seed.
Right. It's like caught in between. It's like they did have good injury luck, but they also had more bad injury luck than I think people let on to. It's just he played through it.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder what all of them being healthy will do.
Yeah. It also then says, like, if you flip it on a, look, the Lakers were healthier at the end. Here they are getting to the conference finals. The Warriors were healthier come playoff time. Wiggins was back. Curry, who had missed some time. Draymond. they were back. That was a better version of themselves. So the Kings had their better version of themselves for the bulk of the regular season. The timing of Fox's playoff injury was not good.
When we come back, Kyle Shanahan, according to an article in the Chronicle, says, had the Niners advanced to the Super Bowl? Remember, Brock Purdy was hurt. Everybody was hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt. Josh Johnson got hurt. Everyone was hurt. But what would have happened had the defense won that game for the Niners? What the heck would they have done in the Super Bowl? We'll tell you who would have started. And Lefty, you've already heard this story. It's not who you think. Hint, wasn't a 49er. We'll tell you what next.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa. Thursdays at 6 p.m. and Saturdays at 8 a.m. on Sactown Sports. Get the latest on equipment, area courses, people who play the great game, and plenty of good conversations about golf. Golf to Go. Thursdays at 6 p.m. and Saturdays at 8 a.m. on Sactown Sports. Golf to Go is brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality. They bleed black and purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on your local sports leader,
Sactown Sports.
So Jalen Hurts got a case of the whoopsies. He was sacked by Nick Bosa, fumbled, and was ran back for a touchdown. And then a few series later, threw a pick, Talanoa Hufanga, pick six, couple of Robbie Gould field goals, and the Niners' defense was able to stifle the Philadelphia Eagle offense the rest of the way.
I turned that game off.
Yeah. In an alternate reality, and for the purposes of this conversation, that's what happened. The Niners advanced to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? And had no healthy quarterback.
What about Brock Purdy?
He'd hurt himself.
James Garoppolo?
James Garoppolo not ready.
And certainly Josh Johnson was ready to step into the limelight.
Big-time concussion. In fact, Christian McCaffrey actually finished the game off in this fantasy because it's more fun.
Steve Young? Joe Montana?
Steve Young coaching his daughter's team. Joe Montana?
He's in Skechers.
Yeah.
Druckenmiller?
Jim Druckenmiller is now a professor at Oxford University.
Is he really?
He's done with football.
Is definitely an alternate reality.
100%. Tim Rattay not available either.
Dorsey?
Dorsey, because he went to Miami. Terrible.
I heard they had contacted Cody Pickett, but the whole pick it, they're like, not in the Super Bowl.
Your guy, JT O'Sullivan?
JT O'Sullivan's too busy breaking down plays online as his new career. Didn't have to take hits. And Elvis Gerback just said no. He said no.
Jeff Garcia.
He left the building. Jeff Garcia.
Okay, Jeff Garcia would have definitely wanted to.
He was like, I'm available.
So, Kyle Shanahan now has a problem. You're playing the Chiefs.
Sound off on it, Kyle.
It's a rematch even. And had Shanahan had his way, and I imagine he would have, the Super Bowl would have opened, would have been a great national anthem, the planes would have flown, the fireworks would have gone off, all that stuff, and the Niners would have received the opening kick, touchback, and under center, first and 10 at the 20. Jack's brother, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, according to Kyle Shanahan, would have been his pick to start for the 49ers in the Super Bowl, had all of that happened, and had they had to go out and get a quarterback. First off, that would have been an amazing story going in. Like, Matt Ryan plucked off his couch. Come on down, Matt. Here's your opportunity. And they're familiar with each other. They both combined to blow a massive lead in record-breaking fashion for the Atlanta Falcons, Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan. So here's an opportunity, and this is really where the Disney story comes into play. Here's an opportunity for them to get redemption together. What are you looking at me for? What'd I do? Why do I feel like I'm going down the wrong way here?
You are.
You are.
Why?
Because it's not Matt Ryan.
Oh, my God.
was like, are we still in the alternate
universe?
That's
where I was like, wait, are you leading somewhere else? I don't think you are.
I did this whole lead up. I created a whole fantasy world. Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can save it. Hold on. But
Matt Ryan died.
Went on. God dang.
It's fantasy, right?
No, yeah, but that's hardcore.
Sorry.
Matt Ryan got run over by a bus.
Thank you.
And but was okay. And
it was okay, but his ankle was broken.
Okay.
So then Kyle Shanahan went to his next option, Philip Rivers.
There we go. Yeah.
Both former Colts quarterbacks.
Also,
I guess that's where the confusion is.
The same guy. No. Just less kids.
Philip wasn't available. He was having another one. He's at number 10.
For real. And Phil Rivers' entire family took over an offensive line.
They didn't have enough tickets available.
All 10 of them. So let's just recap now. Odell Beckham Jr. is a running back, according to me. Matt Ryan, which, by the way, for all we know, that's who Kyle Shanahan meant, and I was correct.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Golly, I got to eat those nutrients.
Van Jefferson.
Earlier. I did a whole Van
is actually
Morris.
Van
that's,
Morrison.
That's the three. Van Morrison. Oh, my God.
I feel like there was another one yesterday.
Hold on. Am I turning into that old person? Am I turning into that person that you see on Twitter, like when they put radio guys up that always screw names up? Is that what's happening?
You've been screwing names up since I worked with you.
That's true.
It's just you're like now creating like false realities. Yeah.
And we're not posting
like,
them.
It's gone from David Derek Carr, which is a pretty normal one, to Van Jefferson, Van Morrison, and not knowing the difference between Matt Ryan and Philip Rivers.
The all-time home run king, Pete Rose.
Again, that's...
Like, there's a whole career of this. How am I employed? Golly.
Greatest hits.
Really, we should do that.
This one is top three.
Pretty good. Just
because of the story.
Well, you set it up, and I'm like, alternate world. Like, where are we going?
Yeah, and that. Well, it was Jay gave it away because Jay gave me the look that I come to recognize now where it's like, dude, what do you, and then I go, oh, wait. Then that's the alarm bell with me where I go, oh, God. Am I wait?
But I also didn't want to step on your story. I'm listening to you say Matt Ryan. Yeah. That's what I said. I'm like, he's going to flip this to Philip Rivers. Then as you're going down, I'm like, oh no, he's just not even thinking of the right quarterback.
It's the proper move. You should never step on it because one of two things are going to happen. Either A, I am going to flip it. I've done that before and it was a planned thing and you don't want to step on it. Or B, just let me hang myself because it's more fun.
And at that point, I was like, okay, no, he's really at this point.
You were like the ref that came in and waved off the story, like for the eight count. Anyways, so it would have been Philip Rivers, which also would have been a great story. Though I think they would have been pretty massive underdogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger, not him. Wasn't he mentioned earlier? Like earlier in the season, remember when?
Yeah.
I think it was first when Jimmy G got hurt.
But apparently Roethlisberger just, like, he considered it, he said. I remember that, and then ultimately decided not to. I don't know. Who's better in that situation, Rivers or Roethlisberger? Roethlisberger has Super Bowl experience winning one.
I mean, Rivers has a cannon, though, too. Still does.
And that's the best way to unretire, win a Super Bowl, then go away.
Then just go away.
Yeah.
He has, like, he's only allowed to show up day of Super Bowl because he has to babysit the rest of the time.
Okay. This alternate thing happens.
Yeah.
Niners stun the Chiefs.
Yes.
Rivers goes in the Hall of Fame. Is he going as a Niner?
Yeah.
One game. It's all measured on Super Bowls. He's never been there. He wins one.
It's one of the most unique stories in NFL history, I'll tell you that.
Honestly, it might be. I mean, you got Kurt Warner bagging groceries. And then you got Phil Rivers changing diapers. And next thing you know, he's wearing a ring. Here's another thing. They in your world, in your fantasy world, Jason, that's accurate. They win the ring. He wins a ring. Are we having a controversy in the offseason now? Like, Phil Rivers?
I don't think so.
You think it's done. Automatic retirement?
Yeah.
You don't think he's like, I want to run it back. If we could win the Super Bowl in one game, what could I do over 17 with this team, with an actual training camp? I've got more left in the tank.
I think then it's Matt Ryan's time.
Then you bring in Matt Ryan?
Yes.
You know, I like the whole thing, too. I did the whole made up for Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I was like, okay. All right.
Okay.
We're going somewhere.
By the way, Philip Rivers is only 41.
Only? Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady's like, you know, he's almost 50. Drew Brees played until his early 40s. Aaron Rodgers is right there. Yeah. Nothing saying nothing or whatever. But isn't also – wasn't Phil Rivers also like coaching a high school team or
something? I think so.
Yeah,
or his son, or his kids, son,
right? Whatever. He's made enough money. Anyways, that's who your guy would have been.
That would have really been interesting.
Also, I
mean, had they been put in that spot,
not for nothing, Phillip Rivers in his final season in 2020 with the Colts passed for 4,169 yards, 68% completion percentage, 24 touchdowns, 11 picks.
Okay, with the Colts,
that's a pretty damn good season, dude. That is a pretty damn good season. Like, Phil Rivers, first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Right. 8-time Pro Bowl selection. And they have seven. Oh, God. Okay. They have 9 kids.
No, 10 now. They just had a 10th.
The couple is expecting a third. You are absolutely right. Wait, hold on. It says they're expecting a third son in October. They already had him?
I thought they just had their
10th. It says expecting. Well, I mean, I'm going off Wikipedia, but expecting a third son in October 2022. Yeah, maybe it's a couple months premature. Yeah. That happens. 10? Of which 7 are daughters. Haley, Caroline, Grace, Sarah, Rebecca, Claire, Anna, Gunner, and Peter.
Gunner.
Gunner Rivers is 100% playing in the NFL.
No. XFL.
Peter Rivers is playing in the NFL.
Claire Rivers. What is Claire going to do? We'll talk about that.
Actress.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. Claire Rivers, also playing in the NFL. Why not?
Part of the CBS sitcom, the first female NFL quarterback.
God, 10 kids, dude. Who in their right mind, man? We'll take a break.
The Rivers can literally field an offense.
Yes.
11 players.
They can field 2 starting lineups in the NBA. They can field a baseball team and a mascot. Mm-hmm. 10
That's
kids. Thank God he made a lot of money. When we come back, the Kings posted on social media the top dunks of the year. They are now down to 4. We got audio for you. We'll have fun. We'll pick them next.
The Kings are running it back.
He's got the bucket at the buzzer. Harrison Barnes.
Alex Lynn just went above the iron with a 2-hand throwdown. And that was as nasty as we've seen him in a Kings uniform.
And welcoming some new faces.
Oh, and here comes Vezenko. He gets the big finish.
Fisher rejected by Mr. Vezenko.
Keep it locked on Sactown Sports at SactownSports.com for the latest Kings news.